First of all, I would just like to say thank you to everybody for such a wonderful week, and thank you for all the amazing messages, and thank you to Mary for all of her hard work in the kitchen, even though I didn't get to taste any of her good food because I had to cook for myself with all my allergies, but I could tell it was wonderful, and Mary worked very hard, and I think everybody should make sure they say thank you to her. I would just like to read the second verse of this song we just sang. So he laid our gold in the flaming fire, though we fain would have said him nay. And he watched the dross that we had not seen, and it melted and passed away. And the gold grew brighter and yet more bright, but our eyes were so dim with tears that we saw but the fire, not the master's hand, and we questioned with anxious fears. This afternoon I'm going to talk about the refiner's fire or give a testimony about it. I will say right away, I'm not up here because I want to be. This is the last place I want to be right now. But I feel like if maybe I can help somebody else through my pain and devastation, it might be worth sharing. Most of you who know me know that I've been through a lot of health issues in the last year, especially. And I guess what I'm going to do is just, you guys all watched me on the outside and watched everything that happened. And I would just like to show you what was going on in the inside through the last year. But before I do that, I'm going to give you just a little bit of background so you kind of know where I'm coming from. The first thing I want to bring out is back when I was 4 years old, something happened to me, and I still remember, that was probably one of my first memories, is back that day when I was 4 years old, somebody said something to me that I don't even exactly remember what it was. It was just something that hurt, and as a little girl, I was standing out there. And I came to the conclusion that day that I didn't matter, that I was worthless. And the only reason I'm saying that is because I'm going to come back to that later. At age 6, I started having major panic attacks for no reason. Or once in a while there was a reason. I was very scared of blood because I heard somebody say once that you could bleed to death, and at 6 years old that just like terrified me, and if I ever got any little scrape or anything I was just screaming like hysterical. And I never slept, even as far back as I can remember. My dad used to get up at 4 or 5 in the morning and read and pray. And as soon as the light came on, I would get up because I was awake anyway. Most of the time he made me go back to bed because he always said I would wake up mommy if I got out the toys. He probably wanted some peace and quiet, but as I got older, I still continued to have health problems, but I started hiding everything because I felt like I didn't know what was wrong with me, but I felt like there was something, and I just felt like if I didn't tell anybody anything, it wasn't really there. Like asthma and stuff, dealing with asthma, I would just say, you know, if I don't tell anybody that I can't breathe, then maybe it'll just go away. But as soon as I mention it, then there's a problem. Because then you spoke about it, so then it's out in the open. But eventually, probably by the time I was in my early teens, I was so sick that I was having major pains in my side. And so one time my mom took me to the doctor, who just prodded around like a normal doctor does, and he's like, oh, there's nothing wrong with you, and gave me a big bag of medication and sent me home. And I threw the medication in the garbage, and none of my symptoms stopped. And so as I continued to have these experiences, I began to hide it more and more, and because I felt like it was just because it was me that I felt this way. And I didn't understand why nobody could find it, what was wrong with me. And I'm just going to kind of skip over all those years to when I was 18 when my dad passed away. And that was a very major, dramatic trauma in my life. That's all I'm going to say about that right now. But I continued to get pneumonia every year. I would get pneumonia every single year, go to the doctor. They would give me medication, and I would come home, usually take one or two pills, and have major reactions to the pills, so I would end up throwing them away and then becoming doubly sick every time I started the medication and then went off of it. So I began to feel like there was just no help ever. I got bronchitis really bad one time, and I was sick for about 2 months with a fever of 103 to 104. And finally, my mom took me to the emergency room one night because I had such severe pain in my kidney area, and we thought maybe I had a kidney infection. And I walked into the emergency room, and they had to wheel me back out because I was there for 5 hours, and they pumped medication in me, took x-rays, did all the stuff that I did not ask for. All we wanted to know was if I had a kidney infection, but they did what normal doctors do. And I realized at that point that the hospital was not an option anymore. The only thing that happened when I went there, where most normal people would go to get better, did not help me. It only made me worse. So I came to a point where basically I collapsed. About 5 years ago, I was babysitting like 4 little kids at the time. The oldest one was 3. And three of them came from a very dysfunctional home. And so basically I was like their mom to them. I had them almost all day, every day, and often kept them overnight too, if the mom ever asked me. Because I felt like, because they were from such a dysfunctional home, if the mom ever said, "Will you take them?" I made up my mind if she ever asked me, I would say yes, because the more they were out of their home, the better it was. So I was basically dead anyway. I was so weak, I could barely make it up the steps. I had asthma so bad, I would often have to sit up all night because I couldn't breathe. Yeah, at that point I never thought of giving up because I had to be there for the kids. They were what made me keep going. I never even thought at that point of giving up. And at that time I started seeing a chiropractor, just for chiropractic. And I went to her for a couple years. She never helped me at all. And then I started going to see a different natural doctor for somebody that my sister Melody was seeing and had told me I should go see her. So I went out there and I loved her. We would usually spend 2-hour appointments together and talk and whatnot. I found out that she actually helped me a little bit because she didn't use medications or anything. She used herbs. And I would go see her. She would give me stuff, and it would help me for about a month. And then I would start reacting to whatever she gave me. And that went on for quite a while. And I got a little bit more hope that maybe somehow I would get better. And then I all of a sudden got hit with inner ear problems where you're so dizzy, you can't sit up, you can't bend down, you can't do anything. I was basically flat on my back for 2 weeks. And after those 2 weeks, it kind of went away a little bit. And I was hoping that was the end of it. Just for those 2 weeks, I thought, well, that was something that just came and went. But at the same time, the glands in my neck here were swelling, like, constantly, to the point sometimes where I could barely turn my head. And no matter what I ate, only made it twice as bad. I would go for sometimes 2 weeks at a time just drinking chicken broth, trying to not make anything worse. And at that time, my sister was going to a different natural doctor that she had found. And she's like, "You should go try her." And I was like, "No, I'm just done with doctors." I didn't feel like I had the strength to go to another place that could not help me. But at the same time, I didn't feel like I had any choice because I was practically dying. I never thought that my health could make me an invalid until one night, Lydia and I had spent the night together, and we were up to like 1 o'clock in the morning like we typically were, laughing and taking pictures and stuff. And we both went to bed, and I woke up like half an hour later just with the room just spinning and spinning and spinning. I had to like I couldn't focus on anything. And I tried to sit up because I was like, you know, I've dealt with this dizziness before. I'll just slowly sit up like I typically do. And I had to go use the bathroom. But when I sat up, I just blanked out and I fell back on the bed. I was like, this cannot be happening. Like, and so I would do it again. I would say, I am going to master this. I'm going to be able to sit up. And so I would sit, try to sit up again, and I was so dizzy. I would black out again, come back when I was laying there on the bed. So I tried by slowly inching my pillows and my blankets together, by slowly picking my head up to see if I could sit up that way, because that would help me not be so unbalanced with the inner ear problems. And I laid there on the bed for 2 hours, just trying to get up. And I realized at that point that I was helpless. And I also felt hopeless. And it was after that that my mom basically told me, you have to go to this doctor. She gave me the money and she said, go. And so I went, hoping that some way they might be able to help me. And again, I realized, after I'd been going there for about 2 or 3 weeks, that I felt absolutely amazing, amazingly better. And so my hopes just skyrocketed. I was like, this has got to be the answer now. Obviously, I thought, obviously now God is answering my prayers and he's going to heal me now. Well, that went on for a couple months, and I started feeling better and better, and I started planning all these things that I'd always wanted to do, but had felt too yucky to do anything. And I was like, by summertime, I should be able to do all this stuff that I wanted to do. And it was right in the springtime of last year that all of a sudden I started reacting to all the supplements that I was taking. I was like, I went up for a little bit and then down. The doctor would give me something and I would be able to take it, and then I would react to it. So I would have to quit. And I felt at that point like I was living my worst nightmare, that there seriously was no hope for me. And at the same time, I began to wonder if a lot of it didn't have to do with all the emotional trauma that I had been carrying all my life. Biggest thing that I had was my dad's death. When he died, I thought it was my fault. I don't know why I blamed myself for it, but I did. I just felt like if I had been a better person, or maybe if I had been a better daughter, he wouldn't have had to go through this. I totally blamed myself for the whole thing. So I was walking around with this guilt on me that was just eating me alive. But since I was a very shut up person, I almost, when my dad had died, we had all just closed the subject. Nobody spoke about him except for my mom. None of us said a word about him. It was just like, we dropped it. None of us knew how to deal with it. So, I was realizing that I needed to talk to somebody. But I had nobody I could talk to. I felt comfortable talking to. So I just started praying that God would send me somebody that I felt comfortable enough to talk about this with, and he gave me somebody, and we stayed up really, really late one night, and I just dumped all of this pain on her, and just for the first time since, for like 9 years since my dad had died, I talked about it. And I told her that I was blaming myself for it. And the only thing I remember, I mean, we talked a lot, but I don't really remember anything from that night except she just asked me what I thought Daddy would feel like if he knew that I was blaming myself for it. And my dad was a very, very tender-hearted person, and I knew that that would have been something he would not have been able to handle. I had never thought about that before, but I knew because he had always taking care of me. I knew that he would not be able to handle that. If he knew that I was sitting here killing myself over that. And it just haunted me for days. I could not get it out of my mind. And one day, I was just able to let go of it. Just let go of the whole thing. I gave the whole thing to God, and just the mountains of pain that lifted off of me. I had no idea how big of a burden I had been carrying with that guilt of his death until it was gone. And it was right after that that I thought, oh, well, now maybe since I took care of all this emotional stuff, maybe now I'll get better. And we were going, right after that, we were going to a friend's house. We had a cat, and I typically got quite a bit of asthma from cats. And so I was a little bit worried, but I went anyway because I wanted to, and I thought I'll just stay for a short amount of time. But even before I went, I was not feeling good. And as we were sitting there with our friends, I started feeling something that I had never felt before. I all of a sudden couldn't swallow. Felt like my whole throat was like closing shut. And so we left, went home, and by the time we got home, I felt like I was just like gasping for breath. I couldn't get any air, and I couldn't swallow. My throat was closing shut. And I thought, well, maybe I have cat hair all over me or something. Maybe I just need to get out of these clothes. Or at first I went and I washed my arms and I washed, you know, anything that was showing in case there was, like, cat hair on me or whatever. And it didn't help. My throat was still swelling. And so I was like, well, then I should take my clothes off. So I, as soon as I took my clothes off and got into my pajamas, the swelling stopped. And somebody, it was like a couple days later, somebody said something to me about, you're probably allergic to clothes, because I was continually having more of these throat swelling shots. And I remembered that night that we had been out where the cat had been. I had been wearing brand new clothes that I had never washed, so they were full of chemicals. And that was like the beginning of the worst nightmare you could imagine. I got down to only being able to wear a couple pairs of clothes. I didn't know why. Some of them were bothering me, why some of what materials it was, if it was soaps in them, what it was. I just went through the biggest nightmare the next few weeks of any little scent or smell would immediately trigger off my asthma, and my throat would close shut. Like, anytime anybody in the family washed their hair or anything. And I was just totally freaking out all day. There was nothing I could take to stop the swelling except get away from the thing. So I had to basically do absolutely nothing unless I kept track of exactly what I did so I could tell what it was going to be that was going to bother me. And a few of the kids I was babysitting came in brand new clothes that had never been washed. And I would take the baby from the mom, and within like 5 minutes, I would start feeling it right here in my throat, and my whole throat would close shut. And what do you do when you have a baby there that you can't touch? I would have to call the parents, tell them I had to be done working. And I usually had to spend the rest of the day just laying on the couch, just to keep the swelling down. And it was right around that time that one of my sisters told me she had something for me to listen to. And I was like, well, I don't want to hear it. Because I was absolutely totally freaking out all day. I didn't want to hear anything. And she gave me a CD, The Weapon of Rejoicing, by Otto Koning. And I listened to it and was absolutely amazed at how good he was. And basically, he was a missionary, and he went through all the times in his life where he had been through major things, and God would tell him in the midst of it, God would tell him he needed to rejoice. And so I've got the album that he has, like 12 different CDs, the Pineapple Story series. And I thought I'd just listen to them from the beginning. So I listened to the Pineapple Story and which we all just listened to a little bit ago about surrendering rights. And so I was raised going to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, every Wednesday night. So I was typically in church, like, constantly. And we never missed church for anything. We were always there. We planned our schedules around church. So I was used to being in church all the time whenever there was church. And I suddenly got to the place where I couldn't go to church anymore because all the perfumes that everybody wore would bother me so bad. I would have to leave as soon as I got there. And I would drive home every single time just crying, and I would be like, God, what are you trying to do? Like, do you not want me in church? I started doubting everything. Doubting whether God was even real. And so it got to the place where I basically never went to church anymore. Every time my family left, I would sit down on the couch and I was like, I said, okay, God, is there something I need to surrender? And most of the time before, when I had been praying, I would just be like, what are you doing, God? And I would just go on and on and on and on. But I never was quiet enough to listen to see if he would answer me. I just continually complaining at him. And then I would just go on to something else without letting him answer me. But that night, I just asked him. The first thing he brought up to me was health rights. And I had to surrender, give it up. And every single meeting after that, it got to be just a ritual. Every single time my family left, I would collapse onto the couch, and I was always crying. I would be like, now what? And we went through tons and tons and tons of stuff. God would always bring something up to me. Stuff that I had no clue I was even hanging on to. And then I got just a little bit better. And I started going to church just a little bit. And then it happened again. And like right before church, I got really sick. And I was like, my family left, and I'm like, God, now what? Like, I've already given you everything I could possibly give you and more. Now what do you want? And he said, tonight I want your fear. And I was like, I was not expecting that. And I was like, God, that's too hard. I can't give you that. And I sat there on the couch and argued with him for a little bit until I got to the place where I realized I wanted him to take it. And when I released all the fear, I realized how fearful my life had really been and how much fear had been in my life. And because I cannot exactly remember how this all went, or how it all played in the picture, but eventually I started giving God time limits of when he had to heal me. And that's not a good thing to do. But we had weddings going on, and I had to be the photographer for one of the weddings, and I was like, how can I go like this? How can I be, I mean, I'm just not even worth anything when I can't even tell somebody, yes, I can be your photographer, because how do I know I won't have to leave the room? And it seemed like every time I would say, you know, this date I need to be healed by because I have to do such and such. And I was never healed. It went on and on and on and on like that. And at that point, I basically just became numb, and I couldn't feel anything at all. I quit crying. I just quit. I felt like I was this zombie that was just walking around, that was not living. But I was babysitting a little boy that was about a year old when all this first happened. And he was like the sweetest thing in the world. And he was always hugging and kissing me, like all day. He would hug and kiss me like all day. And I realized all of a sudden that every time I went and picked him up, I started crying. And for a long time, I didn't know why. Until I came to the realization that he was the only thing left in the world that made me feel anything. I was so numb. That I could not feel a thing until he would come by me. And then all of a sudden I would be able to feel again. And he typically would, all I would do is lay him in his bed and he would go right to sleep. But sometimes I would just get him and rock him to sleep and just hold him. Just so I could feel. Because I was so numb, I just wanted to be able to feel something again. And then, there's like a big gap that I'm just gonna skip over. We started remodeling our house. We were going to have new cabinets, and we were getting a bathroom put in downstairs, and I was a little bit worried about it, but at that point I was doing okay. I mean, not exactly okay, but a little bit better than I had been doing. And my family, of course, ripped into the cupboards and started putting all this stuff in, all the new stuff in, and I stayed there for one night. I had my bedroom door closed and the window open, so I wouldn't be able to smell anything up there. But by morning, I basically couldn't breathe at all, and I had severe pain in my lungs. So I went over to my sister's house to stay. And, of course, as soon as I went over to her place, then I had to make her stop living, basically. Because she couldn't vacuum if I was in the house. Because I couldn't handle the dust or whatever that came out of the carpets. She couldn't use any of her detergents or anything as long as I was there. So I felt like I had no place left in the world. I would come home, and I could make it in the house for about 10 minutes before My throat was completely closed shut. I had asthma so bad I couldn't breathe. And I would leave the house crying every time, and I would just be like, God, what are you trying to tell me? What are you doing to me? And he never answered me. There was one day in particular that stuck out where my sister had to make soap because she always made soap, and so I had to leave for the day. And so I came home and had an absolute miserable day. I couldn't breathe all day, but I didn't really have a choice. There was nowhere else I could go. And so all day I was thinking, she's going to be done with soap by this evening so I can go back and I can finally just rest. I can finally get rid of this asthma. And so I went back to her house that night, and some random people had just showed up at her house all of a sudden to clean her carpets for her. They were trying to sell her something. So the entire house, not only were they the house full of chemicals, but the guys that were there were smokers. So there was double bad in the house. To me, I met me at the door and she said, you better not come in. And I was like, well, where am I supposed to go? I got in my van, I went to the library. And I sat there in the parking lot. It had become a common thing for me to do. When I couldn't breathe in any other place, I would go sit at the library in my van. But I had to have the window down and the van not running because I was allergic to the exhaust. So I was always freezing. And I was always like, God, what on earth are you trying to tell me? Like, what are you doing? Why can't you just heal me the same way you healed everybody else when you were here? And this continued like this for a couple months. And then one night, one Sunday evening, my brother preached a sermon on the 10 lepers. And I can't exactly remember most of the sermon, but I just remember him saying, if you have a problem, you need Jesus. And he just forcibly said it over and over again. If you have something in your life that's wrong, you don't need anything else, you need Jesus. And I went home and listened to it again online. And I knew, I'm going to back up a minute. I had been thinking about going to counseling for a few months, just because I had a lot of other very dramatic things in my life that I was hiding that nobody knew about. Pain that I had never talked to anybody about. And so, basically, I felt like I needed to talk to somebody. I needed to go to a counselor, but I wasn't going to go to a secular counselor because I didn't really believe in them. Because unless somebody can point you to Jesus, I wouldn't go sit under them. I'm not going to go sit under somebody who's not a Christian, because I have no idea what they're going to tell me. So I kept feeling like I needed to just tell God all of my problems. But I think it was Satan would always say to me, but, you know, God has given you counselors, so he's not going to take that place. You need to just use a counselor. And I would be like, but I don't want to go to a counselor. I couldn't find any Christian counselor that I would talk to. And so one Sunday morning, I knew, I mean, I was so shredded and so dead and so exhausted from all of this. I just felt like I was going to die if something did not happen. I woke up that Sunday morning with really bad asthma, and so I stayed home from church after my two sisters left. The main reason I stayed home was because I knew I needed to get alone with God. And so I listened to this sermon again of my brother's on the 10 lepers. And I just started crying and crying and crying. And I said, you know, God, I'm confused and I don't know if you've ever done this before for anybody else, but I know you can. And I just ask him to just help me give him everything the same way that I would to a person, to a counselor, because Satan was lying to me so bad, telling me that God would not do this for me, that God didn't work that way. And so I just sat there for a couple hours on the couch just sobbing and trying to get to the point where I could open my heart to God, because I realized it was so closed. I could not open it, even to God. And eventually, I got to the point where suddenly it just broke, and I just started pouring out everything to God that had happened. Since I was very little. And I just felt this overwhelming sense of love and security and peace. That just, as soon as I emptied my heart of all of this pain and confusion and trauma, God filled it with himself. And I went on like that, just totally rejoicing in his love. I cried almost that whole day. Because after I found his love, then I was crying because I felt so loved. But all my symptoms continued to go. I would see my doctor once a week, and it just seemed like we were getting nowhere. We just went around and around and around in circles, and nothing worked. And by the beginning of this year, I got to the point where I felt like there was absolutely no reason to live anymore. I felt absolutely, totally worthless, because the only thing I did would make it so my family couldn't live the way they needed to because I was in the way. And I started getting very suicidal. Feeling like my only option was to take my own life. Because I simply couldn't continue to put myself through this misery, and nothing was ever going to get any better. And around that time, Angie and I were listening to a DVD called The Lies of the Enemy, And I realized then all the lies that Satan was probably telling me. So I got this little spark of hope. And I said, okay, I'm going to keep going on. And not only that, but I was writing in a journal, and I have written out that day, I had decided I was going to stop complaining at my sisters when they used stuff that I was allergic to. Because I always felt bad every time I complained at them. But I would, when I would go into such a reaction, I would just freak out and complain at them, and then I hurt them, and I would feel even more worthless. On March 26th of this year, it all came to a close when I had written that day about how I was not going to complain at all anymore. And I laid down to take a nap, and I woke up just gasping for breath with my throat swelling shut. And I realized that there was a terrifying smell just filling the whole house. And I thought, I'm not going to open my bedroom door because I'll probably make it worse. So I'm just going to keep the door closed and hope that it just goes out after a little bit. But after about an hour of laying there on my bed crying, I realized that the smell was not leaving. My throat was swelling worse. My asthma was getting worse. So I went downstairs to see if maybe it was better down there, and I realized that it was doubly as bad downstairs. All I could do was go back up to my room. And when I got back up to my room, I said, I can't do this anymore. I can't possibly continue to force myself through this. And Satan just came to me and he said, tonight when your family leaves, just get it over with. And I said, okay, I will. I never stopped to think of what I was doing. I just said, okay, I will. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And then I collapsed on my bed and started crying again. And for 2 hours I laid there on my bed just sobbing hysterically. I was like, there's no point to anything anymore. I was feeling like, after a little bit I started feeling like I wanted to rethink the decision I had made. And I wanted somebody to stop me. But there was nobody I could go to because all of a sudden I felt again like that little girl when I was 4 years old. I was worthless. Nobody would take the time to talk to me, to stop me from this horrible stuff. And I went through just agony like I have never experienced in trying to find a way out of what was going to happen. And at the same time, I realized that I didn't want any help because I wanted my life to end. And as the time drew closer to my family leaving, I got out my notebook to write one last passage to my family, which basically said, I'm sorry, but I can't do this anymore. And just at that time, Angie was the only person left home. She was about to leave, and I was like, if I could only some way go down and tell her not to leave me home by myself. But I didn't have the strength to do it. I just wanted to die. And just Angie was leaving. I was sitting there on my bed, going through life, and I said, there really is no reason to live anymore. There's nothing in the world that I care about anymore. And there's nobody. I started to say there's nobody left that I care about, but as soon as I said nobody, the face of the little boy, the only thing left that had been able to make me feel before, came right up before my eyes, just like a vision in my room. And he was right there looking at me, and I was like, no. I said, don't make me think about him. I'm not thinking about him because I'm not changing my mind. But I started hearing his voice. And at that time, the only thing he would usually say to me is, up, mama, up, up, mama, up. And I, all of a sudden, I could feel his head, like, right here. And I could feel his arms around my neck. And I was just like, I felt all of a sudden that he had gotten the best of me, and I had to just let go of my plan, because as long as he was there, in the same way he had been there all along through all this hard stuff, he had always been right there with me. He was there again, and I was like, I had to just pick him up like I always did. And so I realized at that point that if I was going to continue to live, I had to find something to focus on. And there was nothing left in the world I could focus on, because I didn't care about anything besides that little boy. So I reached for my computer. I was going to go through all my pictures of him and make a video, just so I could do something. I had to focus on something. And when I reached for my computer, I saw that I had a Facebook notification. And I was like, who would be messaging me at this time of day? And it was from Angie. And this is what she wrote. I love you, Rach, and I'm praying for you. Don't know why God is taking you through this pain, but he does love you, and don't let Satan lie to you. And somehow it just helped me to keep going. And after that, I felt like I had been defeated by everything. Even death had defeated me. And I just went into this state of, I had totally given up on God. I had quit praying. He wasn't there. He didn't hear me. He didn't care about me. And I just went along in the motions of life because I didn't know what else to do. And it was at that point that I remember telling my doctor one day, I said, I just want somebody to tell me it's okay to die. I just feel like I need the okay from somebody just to say, just give up. It's okay, you can do it. I felt like I would have just died right there because I was so weak. I was so exhausted and tired. And she told me that day that I had to focus on something. I had to get something in my life that made me happy. That something that I could do. But there was nothing that I even cared about anymore. And basically I didn't interact with any of my friends anymore. The only time I saw anybody was through Facebook. Because I couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't do anything because I was too allergic to all the smells. And so I spent hours and hours online. On Facebook, or I would go to YouTube and watch all the adoption videos. And one time when I was on there, I saw something that said I shouldn't be alive. And so I clicked on it. And it was all these stories about people who had been through just horrifying things. And actually was where Angie got the story from Danelle that she shared about Hope on Monday night. I just all of a sudden found something in somebody that was on a level that I was on. For the first time in nearly a year, I felt like somebody finally understood me. And I sat there and I would watch those all day. Just because I needed to be by something that I could relate to. Because the whole rest of the world could not relate to me. And it was right around that time also that I decided to hunt online for the multiple chemical sensitivity testimonies. And I found those and started watching them just so I could get a glimpse of somebody that had been through something that I had been through. And I would sit there all day and all night. And I would listen to these testimonies about people who had the same thing I had. And I finally found somebody who understood what it was like to not be able to go anywhere. Not even to be able to go hug your best friend. Because if she was wearing perfume, it could practically kill me. And I started feeling a little glimpse of hope again, just listening to those videos and realizing that I wasn't the only person in the world dealing with this. And then we come to the youth meetings of this year. When all the meetings were good, but the one that especially helped me was Jerusalem's meeting. As soon as she got up and started talking, I started crying. And I don't know what it was, but somehow she just opened up something to me. I don't know even what, but as soon as the meeting was over, I left so I could go somewhere to cry by myself. I got out of my van and it was like I have never been so ready to just give something to God. And I just absolutely totally let go of everything. 100%. I was like, God, I do not want a drop to do with my health anymore. I said, if I'm sick like this for the rest of my life, I'm going to love you and I'm going to serve you the same way. I just want you to take this, and I don't ever want to have to think about it again. And just the mountain that lifted off of me. I mean, I had surrendered my health to God like 100 times. But like Angie put it in her testimony the other night, she said she had surrendered the thing many times, but this time she gave her whole self. And that is what happened at the youth meetings. I just gave not just my health, but I gave everything. Just surrendered the whole entire thing. And basically, since then, I have not had a drop of asthma. I felt immediately, I started feeling better. I started being able to take supplements that I could not do before. And I didn't say anything to my doctor about it, even though I felt in me there was a change, a difference in my physical health. I wanted just to see when she would find out. When she, by testing me, she would be able to find out what happened. And Thursday when I went there, we went into our normal testing round, and she was going on testing me and looking more and more and more confused until she finally looked at me and she said, "What did you change?" She said, "What have you done different? What in your life changed?" And I just smiled big. I said, "I just let it go. I just gave it up." And I'm not going to say I'm totally healed, because I'm not. I have no idea what lays ahead for me. But just a week or two ago, again, my brother and his friends were cutting wood at our house. And, of course, the chainsaw exhaust was coming in the windows bad. And I had a very, really bad sinus infection, so I couldn't smell anything. So I couldn't exactly tell if... I mean, I'm sitting here in a room being poisoned, but I don't know it because I can't smell until my throat started swelling and stuff. And so I went up to my room again, and I started crying, and I'm like... I felt like I was going to do another freak out. And then I remembered that I had given it to God. And so I said, "God, what do you want this time? Is this just happening, or do you want something from me?" And then I just was quiet to see if he would answer me. And he said, "I just want you to know I'm big enough to take care of you. Just trust me." And that's just what I want to tell all of you today. God is big enough to take care of you. No matter what the situation is, no matter what you're going through, God is big enough to take care of you. And I also, because I do believe that a lot of my health issues stemmed from the fact that I held everything in since I was 4 years old. The fact that I believed all my entire life I was worthless and I didn't matter. And the weight that my body had to carry could only possibly make me sick. It was simply more than a body can take. So I just want to tell any of you, if you're holding on to things, you need to talk to somebody. You need to deal with it right now. If you have wounds or trauma in your heart, you need to go to somebody because you do matter. The other thing that I realized through all of this, one day I was driving along and I was thinking about this person who was grown and who had been very abused as a child, and they just had a lot of emotional trauma and damage to them. And what happens when an adult has emotional damage and trauma and they get married and have kids? Then they start doing the same thing to their kids. And all of a sudden, I have no idea how, obviously God just showed me all of a sudden why he had taken me through this. Because I suddenly realized that all of the emotional pain and trauma was gone. While I had been going through the fire for the last year, I didn't see it melting away. But it was slowly going. And I realize now that my heart is totally free. All the pain that I thought I would be carrying for the rest of my life, God had to bring me low enough that I was willing to give it up. And we each have a choice that we have to make. When we go through a trial, we can either become something beautiful through it, or we can become ugly and bitter. And actually, the very easiest way to go through it is to give it all to God. To totally 100% surrender, because he is there. He's big enough to take care of us. And I would just like to close with a poem that I wrote. It's called My Journey. I walked along a darkened road, no light there was for me. My path was meant for only pain, and deep as pain can be. I cried, O Lord, where are you? How could you treat me so? To leave me in this awful state, it seems you just don't know. It seemed the more I asked my Lord to take away my load, the heavier my pain became, and darker seemed the road. It seemed he didn't know where I was. He never saw my tears. He couldn't hear my pleas for help. He didn't know my fears. He had me in his hands like dough, and just like bakers do, he added, pinched, and pressed on me, my will to so subdue. He finally got me rolled out upon the cookie sheet. He opened up the oven door and turned up all the heat. I didn't even try to fight. He put me in the heat. I lifted up my eyes to him. I knew that he had beat. He closed the oven door and left. I thought he closed the oven door and left. I thought he gave me up. I thought he left me there to die, alone to drink my cup. I baked in there a good long while. I hardly dared to cry. I wished my Savior would come back to check me by and by. I felt alone and oh so scared. So what else could I do? I cried for Jesus in my pain and cried for grace in whom. I wasn't sure he'd hear me, though. Could he hear a wretch like me? But when I cried, he answered me. He'd never left, you see. My child, he very gently said, I never left your side. I stayed within this burning heat. I watched you as you cried. I watched the fire. I watched the tears run down your cheeks as heat was sore applied. I watched the fire burn away the self and sin and pride. I waited for you, child of mine, to see me through this pain. But you were busy crying out, Lord, what could be the gain? I did not give you any more than what I had to do. I wasn't there to have some fun or just to torture you. I wanted you to be like me, to help another soul. So this is what I had to do. That was my only goal. Dear Lord, I cried, forgive me, please. I see your love anew. I know I'll never have to doubt my confidence in you. We stepped outside the oven door where life was sad and drear. But what I couldn't seem to find was all my pain and fear. Somewhere within that burning heat, I lost it all I know. For with my Savior by my side, where could I fear to go? My joy is full, my peace is sure, I'm happy as can be. I'm singing of a Savior's love who rescued even me.